Yo, 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 welcome to another episode of Fuck Your Feelings. I'm your host, Brunson. Today, we got another special for you for the Black Vote Awareness Series. We got the crew on the line, and they're going to give you their thoughts and opinions. And today, we're going to address the Constitution. So, on the line right now, we got the boy, Smitty. What's up, Smitty?
What up, what up, what up?
We got Mr. K.
What's up?
I put the foot on the back of you niggas' neck, Tiffany.
I'll lie.
And straight from the Relationship Talks podcast, the one, the only, Mr. Rick Richard, I got these dollars. What's going on, bro?
Hey, what's up? Happy to be here.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Appreciate y'all. All right. So everybody doing good out there?
Oh, yeah.
Life's a dream.
Life's a dream. There we go. Tiffany about to go collect some money.
Oh, what's, that's what Disney movie is that from?
Oh.
All of them?
That's the general theme in all of them, I think.
Y'all goofy. All right. Well, is everybody good out there? So, in this topic, like I said earlier, we're going to discuss the constitutional rewrite. And we want to know, how should the Constitution, or should the Constitution be rewritten to include all? So I am going to start off with Smitty. Smitty going to give us some background on the Constitution and then whether or not he thinks the Constitution should be rewritten, and just his feelings on it personally. So, Smitty, go ahead. Let me get your thoughts.
So I got to get background on the Constitution? Okay.
Yeah, because this is you, baby. You're the only poli-sci major on here.
I'm not going to give background on the Constitution per se, but I give you background on it.
All right, Smitty, thank you for your contribution. We're going to go ahead and... okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So background on this topic, right? So I've been sitting around for years thinking that the Constitution does not fit the times, right? The Constitution is supposed to be able to evolve with the times, but the Constitution is really outdated for the times, right? I'm not saying there's not great parts of the Constitution. I'm not saying restructure the Constitution. But what I'm getting at is more so, let's use modern day language. I'm in the Constitution and get rid of things that have been in the Constitution that's got remnants of slavery, like the three-fifths of a human kind of concept.
Isn't that wild that that's still a part of the Constitution today? I mean, granted, there's amendments to, kind of take care of that, but, like, that's still written somewhere that we're, Black people are still three-fifths of a human. That's crazy.
And just to get things in the Constitution that, some Supreme Court rulings, right? That whole Brown versus Board of Education, that should be written in the Constitution. It shouldn't be around for a court in the future to overturn, right? There's the Voting Rights Act of 1964. So you don't have to do literacy tests and things like that should be written in the Constitution that they're currently not there, right? So these are laws or precedents that are set that can be overturned or not reauthorize that we hold dear to our heart today that we should put as a part of our governing document and just to rewrite it where it's where it's not saying just documents in general where it's more inclusive into what our nation has become and not what it was where they're still talking about men having these things that where it's just a people and things like that. So it's just getting some of those kind of thoughts that we no longer have as a society and making our Constitution reflect that true what this nation really has become.
So do you think that it would ever happen or can it happen? You think we can make it happen that we as a people and in a governing body of equal people and of all different minorities can get together and help rewrite the Constitution?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a matter of if the people want it. Right. I think we get into this mindset that we can't change things because it's just there. But the Constitution has laws in it to allow you to change it, right? You can change it, and that's what you could dissolve the Constitution if you choose to, as a governing body, So it's just that you just got to make sure that when you rewrite it, it meets your standard, right? Like it should meet your societal standard as a whole, and not just the white men who wrote it.
Gotcha, gotcha. Thank you.
But I have a question. Just so more often than not, like white men are the ones in power. So why would they want to change it? Why would they agree to say, hey, something's wrong with the Constitution. We now need to go revamp it. I think that that's where you're always, for at least for me, always going to hit a wall. Because do I think that it needs to be rewritten? Do some things need to come out? Absolutely. But I think the overwhelming majority feels that, and this could be an assumption, feels that the Constitution is just fine. So how do you then get those people on board to make the changes necessary?
Well, you have to, as citizens, you have to come together and you have to get people on your side, right? Like there's things that was an uphill battle that we changed on a regular basis. So I don't think that because white men don't want to change the Constitution or a group of people don't want to change the Constitution shouldn't deter you from wanting the Constitution change. I think it's just it's a matter of, you know, help. I won't say persuading them, but more so convincing other people, those people in power, that this is the right way to go. You know, like, because citizens, everybody, people are going to be mad, right? You start messing with their history, people are going to be mad. And you just gotta, I want to say, wear them down sometimes. Like, you got to go to Congress and write your congressman and say, this is what I really want. This is the things that I really want to happen. And let's really seriously talk about it. And all you need to do is get really that one person that's in power, that's on your side, that kind of starts this thing in motion. You know, it's that kind of things. Like, I mean, President Obama could have started this, right? Like, there's nothing saying that it has to be a white man. It's just a person in power, right? He could have came in the office and said, before I leave here, I want to have the Constitution rewritten to include all people.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's true. But don't you still need 2/3 of Congress or 2/3 of both houses to change the Constitution?
You do. And you need the states to ratify it as well. But, it doesn't, but once you get it to that point where you got to start, right? Like, you got to start it. And if it takes that one person to get it started, it may not happen in the first 25 years, right? But a lot of things happen, you know, women's suffrage, you know, women didn't have the right to vote. And they started out like, it ain't gonna happen. Like, even black males, right, who got the right to vote before the women got the right to vote, was like, yeah, it ain't really time for us to fight for that. We just got ours. It's this and that. But it just takes one person, right? Like, to keep trucking through that crowd, and things happen. So I don't think it's a matter of, you know, not getting Congress to pass it. Because if you know, I have to go with Lincoln and Andrew Johnson. They had a uphill battle getting the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment ratified by 2/3 of the states, right? But they did after they lost the war, right? The Southern states, one of the things to get reinstituted in the Union was you have to ratify the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment, right? So things happen and things get ratified, and just because of the times, right? So it may be one of those things where you may have 2/3 of the governors like, it's about time we did this, and you don't even know because nobody's really talking about it or bringing it up.
Yeah. So, I mean, one aspect of that, like, I agree with Smitty where it should be at least starting that conversation to have that kind of change to it, make it a more inclusive document than however many white men sitting in the, you know, 1700s writing a document that was only for them by them kind of thing. I also think, but the way to get it, you know, pushed is for us as black people to have our agenda created, and as well as try to leverage it so that everyone can see the good of having this document rewritten to make it more inclusive. I think if you can almost inception them to be like, yeah, you know what, this is a good idea, and they can come and think of it to themselves. Okay, it'll be a good idea, and this X, Y, and Z is the reason why this rewriting, this inclusion of certain acts and things like that will help us in the long run as a country and the betterment of the country. So thank you guys for your opinion. I'm actually going to go to Kieran. What's your thoughts, sir? So do you believe the Constitution should be written to include such things as like the Voting Rights Act of 1964?
I do. I believe that the Constitution is should be a living document that's going to change with the times, that should have changes throughout the times and not just keep the old language in. Just because at times the old language is not very clear to some people. And I believe that having it as a living document and constantly changing and looking at it is going to help. I think this is going to help.
So what to you would be the benefit? Like, I know you said it was going to help, but like, what would be the benefit in the long run to you? Or like, matter of fact, I'm going to go to Smitty because, like I said, Smitty is our resident constitutional expert. When was the last, Smitty, that you can get off the top of your head? When was the last update to the Constitution as far as an amendment? When was the last amendment updated?
So the last amendment was the 27th Amendment, which was about like senator compensation. And I think that happened in the 90s, I want to say. I'll get you a definite answer in a second, but I can't remember the actual like date that happened. But what the 27th Amendment did was it restricted the laws against the compensation for congressional members, right? Like Congress and senators. So that no state can say, well, we're not going to limit your, we're not going to pay you. We're not going to, you know, like a state says, we're not going to pay you because you're a representative. They can't do that, right? It was 1992 that it was ratified and put into the Constitution. So
thank you, sir. Thank you. Hold on. Before I go any further, this nigga just pull out the whole Minute Maid bottle and drink it. Good Lord, boy. Okay. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and move on over to Tiffany. Tiffany, what are your thoughts in regards to the Constitution being rewritten, especially should it be added that, you know, or in rewritten into the Constitution that Black people be at a, I don't know how you, a whole ass human, you know, I don't know, like not three fifths. Like, how do you write that into the Constitution?
I think you should say it just like that. Like Black people should be a whole ass human, like just throw that in the Constitution and let people do what they want with it. Obviously, yes, I do believe the Constitution should be rewritten, amended, reworked. I agree that it should be a living document. Like as we progress as a society, sure, you should change things. We agree on certain things, certain rules, certain laws. Like let's just put this on the books and let it be there forever. Or in 100 years, maybe we need to amend that or change it or take it out. Like that should always be an option. I think the struggle in doing that right now is we're fighting a lot of battles on a lot of different fronts. And for me, I'm just saying right now, I'm not sure. I'm all for it, but I'm not sure this is the battle that I would want to jump in right now.
So would you, not seeing either candidate is currently, but would you support a candidate, or would that be something you would look for in one of your candidates running for a presidency office if they started talking about, hey, we would look to right the wrongs that were in the Constitution and going forward, make it a living document.
I'm for it if that's something that they mention. Like, cool. Is that my deciding factor on who I'm voting for? No.
Okay, perfect. All right. Thank you for that. And then, Rick, I'm going to come over to you. So what are your thoughts in regards to writing the Constitution? Do you feel like the Constitution is good as where it stands, that, you know, it's a document that's been governing America for the better part of, what, 300 years or so? And it's been a governing document that, you know, has led us to be a superpower at times. So what are your thoughts? Like, it doesn't even matter to you that a document being rewritten?
I'm of two minds, because you look at the people in power, and the people in power get to dictate the rules, right? So if you're going to change a document like that, that's going to affect everything going forward, you have to be really careful with who can ratify that, because that's something that sits longer. If you really look at a lot of the laws that were written and different things, we even have I think they call them purple cow laws. I can't remember the direct name of them, but it's like women can't get their hair cut on a Sunday without their husband's permission. Mm-hmm. A lot of that stuff was written at a time where the world was different. So it would be nice if we had something set aside where every so often we went back and looked at the Constitution and looked at the laws and see how sentiment has changed. Think about 10 years ago, you talk about different movements that's happened, the Me Too movement, Black Lives Matter. The landscape has completely changed. I looked at the Dave Chappelle show the other day, and some of those jokes won't fly now.
Right.
movies that were funny in the 90s are not as funny as they used to be because it has some content that everybody thought was okay, but and now it's not okay. So you think about how we condemn some of those things, but then you think about how we have a constitution that still black people aren't a whole person. And we could be owned back then. And it's just a completely different landscape. So I feel like it needs to be updated. I think the thing that I would like to see is the people get together, debate it, you know, something like a People's Republic, mm-hmm. and their own new constitution, and then to show that to lawmakers, and maybe some things can be adapted from that. But it's really so much to think about when you think of things like the Fight for 15. Think about like movements like the Fight for 15. Like on the surface, it really sounds like, oh, great. Like everybody, minimum wage, $15 across the board. But what about the skilled workers that went to school who are getting $16 an hour? They're going to need more money too if you can go work any job and make $15 an hour. So if that happens, then everybody's salary needs to move up. And then if that happens, inflation's going to happen. And then you're going to be in the same
price
rise. So I just feel like it's a lot of thinking that goes into that. Like, I'm not a politician by any means, and I'm not a political science major or anything like that. But I feel like a lot of times we'll jump on something before we fully do the research and understand it. I just really want us to be able to get together in a forum, people smarter than me, and sit there and talk and debate. And we bring up these issues and say, if we do this, this will happen. Like, let's really do something that will last and not just be, I need $15 because I need to make a living off of McDonald's. Like, I feel like a lot of times we try to tackle symptoms. We'll have a symptom that people they don't make enough money to meet the minimum basic needs in this country.
Mm-hmm.
That's a symptom. You know what I'm saying? That's not the problem. So you can get rid of a symptom and still be sick. And this country is sick in a lot of different ways. But all we do is say, like, oh, it's not enough diversity in college. Let's do affirmative action. That doesn't fix it. That gives some more people opportunities, but at the same time, it doesn't give minorities equal access to proper education.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be more of a long-term solution. So we put a Band-Aid on a bullet wound and the country's still sick. We just need to actually start working on healing the actual problem and not just the symptoms.
No, I agree with that. I do think that, you know, as at times we do kind of rush. Oh, it's, you know, a fire sale whenever the hot new topic that comes that affects especially the black community. You know, we kind of lunge out there. To me, a rewriting of the Constitution, I think, would be important. Like you guys said, kind of just addressing certain issues that, you know, over the change of a course of, you know, just time. I mean, from the ending of slavery to, you know, the Civil Rights Act to, you know, like you said, Rick, the Me Too movement and Black Lives Matter. I mean, I think, you know, a governing body or a document that goes with the times and not having such old laws or help states have a document that states can ratify some of their old laws. Like, you know, it was legal to beat your wife on Sunday. It's, you know, it's a 5-year fine for sitting on a park bench on Sunday between 8 and 3. It's like, well, come on now. Like, I mean, I get it at those times, you know, shit may have been going awry and that's why we had these laws, but you know, it definitely need to age with times. And so that kind of brings me to my next part of this. And as if we had this living document, who should be in the room when it's being written? You know, should it be all politicians? Should it be a mixture of, you know, black, white, minorities? Should it be so inclusive of everybody? Or does it just need to be, you know, those politicians that we deem, you know, as our leaders or, you know, that currently hold in office? Like, how should it be written and by who? Who should be have a seat at the table to rewrite this document? So I'm going to go with you, Tiffany, and then I'm going to head over to you, Smitty.
I think the table should be really large. I think that table should include everyone who's going to implement the Constitution, who's going to live under it, who's going to enforce it. All interested parties need to have a seat at the table in order for it to be useful, in my opinion, because you don't want to make laws and rules that govern people, but you don't have the people at the table. Right. And you don't want to the people to create just the laws and the rules and not have the politicians or the people who are enforcing it at the table. So for me, I just think you need the brightest minds from all interested parties, if that makes sense.
That does. Okay. Thank you, Smitty. What about you?
That's exactly my thought, right? I was gonna say the scholars of today, right? Like the people who wrote the Constitution was the smartest people of their time, right? You know, when it comes to like government and laws, right? We had Ben Franklin, right? Like if you think about it, he kind of harvests the power of electricity and things like that. So we need to have those. We need to have those bright minds of today that can be at that table and help hash this out. Right. I don't want the Constitution to be so rigid that it restricts us. Like, I like how our Constitution is written now, where it's flexible and open to some interpretation. I don't want the Constitution to be like the Indian Constitution, where it's over 1,000 pages and everything is spelled out, right? Like, I don't want it to be that involved. Mm-hmm. But I do want it to be more of guiding principles that include everybody and not just a single group of people.
Okay, so you were saying that you didn't want the document to be so spelled out, so concise, that it limits our freedoms. And it makes room for adjustments. Why would you want it so up for interpretation?
I think when you make it too rigid, you can't make it living, right? I spelled it out, right? Like, it's spelled out. You can't have that fluidity in it if it's not living. What will happen is if it's not in the Constitution, it doesn't happen, right? And so in India, they have to even write like special constitutional amendments for certain people to give them exceptions, right? Like, and their name is spelled out in the Constitution. Like, Charlie can have 8 horses. You know, like, it's, you know, you don't want that. You want to be like, well, you know, you want to have that kind of that fluidity with it. And so that's where I'm at. Like, I like how our Constitution is structured, because if you go back to the people who wrote the Constitution, I'm not going to say founded the country because we know what happened there. But the people who wrote the Constitution, they had this in mind. Like, the fact is that the Constitution has survived this long without a constitutional rewrite is powerful in their thought process on how to make the Constitution rigid enough. Fluid enough to withstand within time, but not so rigid, not too rigid where it breaks. Right. Like, and people are up in arms and wars break out because they want more, because the Constitution doesn't allow for that expansion.
OK, let's see who haven't went. Raise your hand if you ain't went. So Rick and then Mr. K, did you go yet? No. OK, then Mr. K. Rick, go ahead.
I feel you. You said, Smitty, you said you don't want it to be rigid and you want it to be flexible. But I started to think about some of the laws that's in the court right now. And you think about, you leave it up for interpretation. I feel like that's how an African American can do one thing and a fluent white person can do the same thing, and they'll get probation and we'll get 25 years. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a double-edged sword, and I can't really say which one is correct, because it's negatives on both sides. Because if you make it so rigid, then you know they'll still find loopholes around it. And if it's not as rigid, it's interpretation. We still get in that aspect where, well, I interpret it this way and I'm sentencing you, so I'm gonna read it this way. So because you're brown, you're gonna get a different set of rules than everybody else because I interpreted it different. I don't feel like it's an easy answer to that. And yeah, I mean, I wish I had more to say than that, but it's just not an easy answer because you have to trust who's interpreting it. But then at the same time, you have to trust who's there. And yes, we the people, the government is supposed to be a representation of the people.
Right.
And I feel like it's not always that representation. You think about it. You think about the people that are running for president. We got Donald Trump, 70-year-old white man. We got Joe Biden, 70-year-old white man. We got two white men, old white men running for election. And is that really the people who most represents our country at this point? I'm not to say, but
yeah, that's fair.
It's tough, you know what I'm saying? So yeah. I feel like people need to be there, but at the same time, we have representatives from everybody. But think about all the people in the black community. I would look at BET sometimes, like, the stuff on BET don't represent me, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you don't want too many people there because you will never get any progress. But at the same time, I would feel like it's hard to find the good mix of people to be there in order to make sure that everybody is equally represented to the fullest that they can be.
Mr. K, what's your thoughts?
Rick said, it's kind of a hard to answer. You're trying to find a happy medium between both, you know, like Smitty said, that you don't want it too rigid so that once they interpret, you don't want them to basically find ways to uphold against you, and do things against you. But then you also wanted to be able to kind of mold to the times. Like we said, we wanted a living document. So it's hard to try to find a happy medium, but I mean, the only answer I got is that I want it rigid to some degree, but then also fluid in some degree.
Okay. Thank you, sir. You know, to me, I guess I'm in consensus with everybody. Like, you know, you want it spelled out. Like, I want it pretty detailed as to as much as I can have possibly in there, with the thoughts that, you know, hey, we make room for improvement, being that, you know, in our current goal as us as on this podcast, we'd like to see a living document. But at the same time, you know, there is, you know, I don't want it policed like it turned into a dictatorship, because this is how strict and rigid that this constitution that we're not governing by is. It really is a tough conversation. And so, you know, I think I'm with everybody else. I would like to see it be a living document that grows with the times and grows with the community as the country changes. But at the same time, you know, it needs to definitely have it to a point where it takes some of I guess in my eyes, takes some of the, you know, the vagueness, the middle area out of it to make it, you know, more spelled out, especially in certain key situations that involve minorities, you know, women, you know, any party that was essentially left out or excluded during the current writing and creation of this document definitely needs to make it so that it's spelled out, to have these rights spelled out for those groups that were affected by it from the get-go. And so my next question, go ahead, Smitty.
I don't disagree with y'all. I'm just saying that, like, the current constitution allows for that, right? Like, there are specific laws, specific amendments that have been placed in there that is very specific, right? Mm-hmm. And you can't, like, they're not really open to interpretation, right? They're very specific. And so I do think that the constitution is both, it does have rigid pieces and it does have the fluidity. I just think that you just need to get everybody included and get those things that we have legal precedence on that are not in the constitution that we need to get in. Like, for example, the fact is that we're still talking about like Roe versus Wade and trying to overturn Roe versus Wade. That shouldn't even be like a thing, right? Like, we should not be flipping back and forth, right? It shouldn't be that. Like, we've made a decision. We've lived with this. This is the law going forward, right? That shouldn't be revisited because the Supreme Court has changed, right? If that's the case, then Brown versus Board of Education can be revisited, and then now we're back separate but equal. You know what I'm saying? We'll revert back to Plessy versus Ferguson, right? Like, those things, we can't allow the Supreme Court to flip-flop like that. And that's what I'm getting at. Like, when you rewrite the Constitution, you need to put these things that we have had for years into the Constitution. It shouldn't, like, once the Supreme Court has a rule, it should be an automatic kind of like a process to get to the Constitution and get that ratified, right? Like, it, because now it's like, okay, well, if the Supreme Court decides to change their mind, we go back to the old way. Like, why is that even legal? Like, why should we allow that?
What about when the world changes? You know what I'm saying? When it was okay for, like, if you committed adultery, you could go to jail. Or mm-hmm. if you were gay, you were homosexual, you could go to jail. You didn't have rights. You know, what we see now is what we see now. And 20 years from now, the way that we view the world could be completely different. You know what I mean? When it comes to abortion and rights and different things, like, the way that we see the world could be different. So it has to be able to change here and there. And I mean, it's kind of like, you know, like Charlemagne says something all the time. He says, keep that same energy. You really got to be able to keep that same energy, because sometimes the things that you're trying to change so bad people can't make that change will keep good people from making good changes too.
Mm-hmm. Facts. Thank you, sir.
Just one more thing before we go. I just wanted to say real quick, The crazy thing about it is, if you really think about change and how change happens, change is really slow. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a good thing that change is slow, because it's a good thing and a bad thing. Change is slow. And if we're not careful, we'll look up. Things are changing right now in the government, around the world, and people who are not paying attention don't see that change. And we're going to look up one day and this world is going to look completely different. So it's easier to change it slowly. It's that old saying, you put a frog in a pot and pot of boiling water is going to jump right out. But if you put a frog in a pot and you slowly raise the temperature, it's going to boil to death. So I feel like a lot of us are being boiled to death. So if we're going to make change, we have to be really intentional about it. And we really have to have a goal of where we want to go and just make a step. Because when you make big change, people see it. When you make big change all at once, everybody's paying attention to it. But when people are making small changes, you don't see it as fast.
No, and I
agree with that.
That's kind of how things get hit in plain sight, right? You know, because small changes that are made, you know, people don't get to view them. You don't get to see them. They're just happening behind the scenes. And before you know it, you know, this new event of system is happening, but now you're left out, you know, on the block. So, and I agree the other way, right? Like, you don't want to totally jump into something and then, you know, realize that we put all our cars in, you know, we pushed it to the pot and it's like, well, shit, you know, now we left out, or we left this out, or now this is exclusive, or it's crumbling at the seams because we didn't take the time to kind of garner attention that it truly needed. So that I do agree. So moving to my next part of this is, we kind of stated earlier that the Constitution was written by the best and brightest minds at the time, for that time. Do you believe that in the writing of this Constitution, should it exclude political parties? Should a political party, like, should anybody of a specific political party, regardless of that party, should they be included in writing the Constitution? And so, Tiffany, I'm gonna go to you.
I guess I'm not clear on your question. Should they not be at the table?
So maybe, you know, should they not be at the table? Do we need their political genius and minds? Because one represents the Democratic Party, one represents the Green Party, and, you know, bringing all those parties together as a whole, because America is a melting pot. You know, cool, maybe that's needed. But also, too, I mean, those might have been the same minds, party lines that were at the initiation of the Constitution. And we, you know, are they valued? Do we value those political parties as a part of writing this Constitution?
I guess maybe I'm just lost here, but my confusion comes. Are you asking me, should these political parties not be allowed at the table? And I'm only asking that because most people identify with a political party. So how do you exclude them?
Maybe it's a political minds, you know, not a certain party kind of aspect when they come to the table. Maybe it's more of the people at the table who not so much, I guess I shouldn't say so much as identifying with a party, but a representative of, say, a party in some kind of government fashion, right? So maybe not a Joe Biden as a Democrat, but, you know, maybe somebody who had Democratic views, like a professor or an educator, you know, could be in the
teacher
room.
Who's a great mind, right, who just happens to identify as a Republican or something. Right. Okay, I understand what you're saying. No, I don't think those people should be excluded. I think in order to rebuild, it would be advantageous to have people who came from the system before. So you know what works and what doesn't work for them, right? So you know that at a certain point that obviously in this country, the Democratic and Republican parties, they work, you know, depending on how you view it, like it works, right? I mean, there's, I can see the flaw in that statement, but you get where I'm trying to go, right? So when you're trying to like reframe the country and recreate that document, I think that having them at the table wouldn't be a bad thing.
Okay, Richard, what's your thoughts?
I mean, I wouldn't exclude anybody. You know, it just needs to be a representation of the country, whatever the country is at that point. Right now, you think about probably in about 20 years, the minority is going to be the majority. Depending on, I mean, this world is changing so quick. Who knows what's going to happen? America's changing really quick. But everybody at that time should be represented. And I don't think it should be any exclusions, because if you talk about exclusions, it's like, oh, we're going to exclude Trump because we don't like Trump. It's like, oh, are we going to exclude this person that you like? And then it gets back and forth. And then we start to lose focus of the thing that we were really trying to do. We just really need unity from everybody.
Thank you, sir. And Smitty, what are your thoughts?
So I don't necessarily have a thought. I don't think you should exclude people from the process. Like, I don't think you should exclude political parties from the process. I think that we should probably explicitly exclude political parties from the in the Constitution, right? Where you don't have political parties and you're and it's a free for all. So you get the best the best person elected based on the people and not necessarily based on party, right? Because like a lot of people far, you know, the idea of a political party is to make voting easier, right? Like if you think about what political parties do or any kind of like party or philosophy system, right? Or group system does is it makes things easier. If I'm a Democrat, I know what the Democrats kind of stand for at a high level, right? Like I could, if I vote for a Democrat, I know it, I'm not getting super shafted from my perspective. Or if I'm, or on the flip side, on the Republicans, right? Like you like, well, I understand what the Republicans stand for at a high level. So I'm going to vote Republican because I believe in these things, right? And I'm not going to get screwed because I believe in these things if I vote that way. Where if you restrict the political parties to none, I'm gonna go with the church statement, non-denominational. If you say there's no kind of party politics, it makes voting hard. Now I have to actually research each person, so make sure I don't get jacked over, because if on paper, you know, I still, you know, on paper this guy may. I mean, on the surface, the guy may look good, but when I start to look at his voting record, I'm like, yeah, he not really cutting up to mustard. But what people don't do is they don't go that far and that in depth to pick somebody. They base it on party loyalties, right?
And come on, man. They gave us a line and two boxes. You just draw the line to the box at this point.
You think by taking away political parties, people still wouldn't do that, though? You think people would educate themselves more? Like, oh, man, like, I really got to educate myself. And it's like, as someone who has degrees and whatnot, like I go to the polls and I still have to like research before I go because I don't feel like I know enough. It's just hard to look up every single individual.
I totally understand that. But if you're going to stick with this two-party system that we have a two-party system, and we're not getting a breadth of like of a diverse group of ideas, right? Like there is a group called libertarians that I'm a libertarian by heart, right? Like I am a fiscally conservative person. Like I don't believe the government should be spending all this money, right? But I'm a socially liberal, right? I believe that people like social liberty should be expanded. And that's a libertarian way, right? Where I'm conflicted, right? So when I go to the polls, if I want to vote for a Democrat, I got to vote for a Democrat because I want social change. Or do I vote for Republican because I want fiscal conservatism, right? Like, I don't have an option for both, you know what I'm saying? So I have to literally look at the each candidate and say, okay, what's more important to me today, right? If fiscal conservative is more important to me today, I'm going to have to vote that Republican way, right? Or is it social justice or social reform that's more important to me today? I got to vote for that Democrat, where there's a breadth of kind of ideas out there that we don't get to experience because we have this two-party system. And I'm not saying that political parties are bad, but I just think we need to at least open it up to more parties so that they get a fight at the main stage.
Can we just I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just saying, can we do that by like having more people move that way? Because I mean, there's other parties, like you said, it's not just two parties, but we just have to. The reason why the Democrats and the Republicans are so prominent is because there's so many of them. Most people with one or the other, is the other parties are smaller because there's not as many people around it. You think about it, like think about it as high school, because I feel like the government is like a stupid high school in a lot of ways. Think about it, in high school, you had those cool groups. It's like if you get that group with enough people, of course they're not going to talk about the other groups because those groups are bigger and they were drawing it out. And like a lot of times it's like you could cash your vote for a different party that's not one of the two, but a lot of times it's like throwing your vote away in a lot of people's opinion.
Yeah, but wouldn't opening or you know, getting rid of those said parties or eliminating the amount of visibility said parties help those smaller, you know, less manned groups?
In my opinion, I feel like it was just like if you a spade, be a spade. Like say you a spade up front, you got to say you a spade. like for me, you kind of get that a little bit more transparency. It would just be like you'd be able to hide it easier. Like yeah. I'm still a Republican. Can't say I'm a Republican, but I'm still going to vote in a Republican way. And I'm still going to group up with these group of people who think like me. Because, you know, no matter what, people are going to be in a group, whether it's church, whether it's high school, whether it's government, everybody groups up and then they
podcast.
Our podcast, and you're gonna move together. That's just how humans are. We herd mentality.
Herd mentality. Mm-hmm. True. Go ahead, Tiffany. You were gonna say something.
I was gonna say to Smitty's point. I was thinking the other day about like how we could like change the voting system to make it more, I guess, realistic. Because I personally think that with two parties, people tend to they're swing voters, or there's people who might just operate in the middle, mm-hmm. and they don't necessarily want to pick a party. So how could we do this in a fair way? So I was thinking, when we go vote, we don't vote for a name. You get a blurb of what this person believes in, what this person wants to accomplish during their presidency, and you vote by that. Now, obviously, there's flaws in that, because then you got to talk about the literacy levels and, you know, the time frame it would take people to read those things. But To flesh that out, I think that it would help the smaller parties, because there are some people out there who might identify, like an overwhelming majority may identify as libertarian, but because they don't have any other option, they just go to one of the two major parties.
Smitty, what's your thoughts about that?
I think it's a smart idea, right? Like it's almost like blind voting, right? Where I have to know what I'm really about to vote for who I really want to. You know, I like that kind of, I know Joe Biden said these things, but if they're not on that, if that's not what the independent commission has put on there to say what Joe Biden's about, you know, would I vote for Joe Biden knowing that what he stands for, right? Like what he's saying, would I really vote for that person, or would I? Does Donald Trump thing reads better, or does, you know, does the other candidates reads better? Right. It's just that kind of, I like that idea. I think that I go with Tiffany's point that it's hard to like based on literacy, based on propaganda. Right. Cause it's going to come down to like, as a candidate, I want my best statement to be on there. Right. Like if I'm Trump, I'm gonna put Make America Great Again on there, because that's my best statement. I want you to know that's me, right? like so you get into that kind of concept. Like Trump's line, one statement is gonna say line. Make America Great Again, everybody else sucks, right?
We do excellent. Everything is just amazing, like the greatest country ever. We're wonderful.
Like, don't you want a president that says that? Absolutely. Check. You know, so I think you gotta be careful. I mean, you gotta be like it would take a lot, and it would take a mindset shift. And I like the idea of having that blurb and seeing what that person stands for. That's a clever way of changing the voting pattern, you know. And you could also give people the option to pick that versus you know, that's your standard ballot, but you give them names they want.
Mr. K
as an option.
Shut up. No, I'm sorry. Mr. K, what are your thoughts in regards
to... When did this podcast become rude?
I'm sorry. You're right. Or I'm not, because it's called Fuck Your Feelings, right? You see what I did there? Mr. K, what are your thoughts?
What is the question?
Okay, and we're going on. No. So the question is...
I had stepped out, so I was asking what was the question.
I'm just messing with you. The question in regards to... Say that again, Rick.
Don't do them like that, man. Come on.
No, so the question is... The exclusion of, or explicitly excluding political parties, should they be excluded from the Constitution?
No.
Why?
No, I mean, a lot of what everyone had said, if you exclude any person, then that person that's excluded is going to just take away the focus and the main purpose of doing this whole action, trying to rewrite it. And if you exclude people, they're going to find a way to disrupt it, because they know they're not included.
Okay, I feel that. To me, yeah, I think Yeah, I don't know if you should really truly exclude anybody, because you want a all encompassing of the entirety of a country and nation, and those same people in the parties, you know, represent this country and are fighting for this country. Whether or not they align with my values and goals is a different story. I do like the idea of kind of getting rid of names to an you know, to an aspect to say, hey, we need to read more. We need to use more apps, or, you know, just figure out what we're voting for. This will not check the box to say Democratic Party ticket all the way down and just go for what you know. Like they could be hiding anything in those, you know, proposals and everything.
Why is that even an option, right? Like the straight ticket.
I have no idea. I have no idea. Like,
I feel like it's because people tend to vote. We are biased. And even when we know we're biased, we still biased.
Yeah.
You think about, we could do stuff like this now in a non-formal way, because I've seen it done before, especially when Barack ran. It's like everybody was like, I'm not going to vote for Barack. I don't agree with him. And then it was like a blind thing. You go through the site and you pick what you want. And at the end, it shows you the candidate based on what you picked.
Right.
Or what you picked. And it's like, I'm still not voting for him. But, you know, like, I remember it was a comedy skit, and it kind of relates to what Tiffany has said about doing a blind ballot. They were talking to people, they were talking to Trump supporters, I think, and they were like,
yeah,
what do you think about the Affordable Health Care Act? I hate it. It's so stupid. And then they was like, how about this? And then they described the Affordable Health Care Act, and they're like, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Yeah. That.
And people biased. So we'd be like, that is the Affordable Health Care Act. After you just described it to them, they said it was great. They'd be like, no, I hate it. This is herd mentality. That's how people are.
It definitely herd mentality. I like the idea of it. I think it would be a better situation, especially getting people to educate themselves more on what's going on, or the going ons in their neighborhoods and in their cities, counties, states, and things like that. We especially Black people, we're loyal to a fault. So we just stick and keep, you know, going and voting. However that, you know, your mama voted that way. What was you? What you vote? Like in the classroom, the teacher walk out. Hey, what was that answer to that test? You know, we forget studying, forget figuring it out on our own. We just going to check what everybody else check. Because A, we don't want to be social pariahs to have a different opinion. And B, I mean, you know, it's easier for me to just figure out what you did. At least we in this together. If I get stoned, I got to at least take you down with me, right? So I think a blind ballot is a better outlook as to how these things is. And I think definitely people need to educate themselves, or just, you know, everything, you know, educate yourself on what Prop B is. Because, yeah, Prop B might be releasing the, you know, gas taxes, but you also had to give up your first or second, third born that you didn't see in that fine print. So people definitely need to, you know, make sure you read proposals and legislation and tax. I mean, hell, I live in Chicago and I wasn't voting at the time, but I think it's a haircut tax, a bag tax, a left Adidas sneaker tax. Like, it's all kind of shit that go on in Chicago. And it's like, bro, I'm you got tolls. You can't park in front of my
parking.
House.
Parking tax.
Parking and taxes is I can't tell you how many tickets I didn't get just for, you know, being over by a minute everywhere. You got to pay a permit to park. So it's like, what was y'all doing when y'all voted for all this shit? You know, now granted, we could have Michigan roads where your axle rod is tore up every other day. So, I mean, you know, gift and the curse. Oh, right?
No. Don't come off of Michigan. Chicago, I left a bumper in the pothole in Chicago.
Oh, wow.
Like, don't you come off.
Yeah, I hit a bumper the other day. That shit was like the Dukes of Hazzard. My motherfucking car was in the air and shit. I was like, oh, okay. All right. You know, this is like, what we're doing.
Don't get on Michigan roads. I ain't never left no flat tire, nothing in the Michigan road. Like, the Michigan roads are not that bad compared to Chicago. They fucking sinkholes and them potholes.
Listen, Chicago.
Michigan roads are really bad, though.
The Michigan roads. I will say this. Chicago got good roads, but the traffic's so damn slow, so you can't tell if it's bad or you just stuck in traffic. So, I mean, and then also the tolls. Oh, my shit. As soon as you hit Indiana, you'd be smooth sailing, especially if you take the Skyway. It's $11, I think, to get from hit the end of the Skyway to get to downtown. And it's just like, all right, I'm going to stop you every 5 minutes. If it wasn't for an easy pass, which still is just paying money, but like, at least it's faster because you just go through it. But it's like, man,
y'all ain't got nothing on Texas tolls, okay? It's like $6 just to go to the mall over here, okay? Like,
I would.
And let's not talk. Like, wait. The worst toll is you got to pay to leave the airport. So you go into airport, it's at the end of the tollway, and then you got to pay to leave. Like, that's your welcome to Texas. Like, we're going to tax your ass on this road that you're not going to use. Like, because you can take a freeway, like a free street to get to once you leave the airport, but you got to pay to leave the airport.
Well, that's smart, because otherwise you won't take their road. So then they just got a toll road for nothing. I got to tax you some way. So that's good business right there. That was that Republican in them. They thought about that shit. So, all right, y'all. So any last thoughts, any final thoughts in regards to the Constitution? Anybody want to say any piece? How do y'all feel about in regards to these current candidates in the Constitution? You know, anybody got any thoughts? No? Yeah, Mr. K, what's going on?
I was waiting for the question, but one of my favorite is the freedom of speech. Thank goodness.
Why, man? You black. You don't got that.
We got the freedom to speak right now.
Not really. Hold on. Let me show you how you don't. Oh, no. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Why is it that's your favorite? Why is this your favorite? Smitty said I'm being an asshole, so I got to stop.
No, I enjoy the freedom to just say whatever the fuck I want to say.
Did you cuss again? What is going
on? Yes, I did. Oh, trust me. Some people didn't piss me off this week, so I was so glad that I could freely speak my mind.
Well, listeners, please go over to the next episode of this podcast where we totally discuss who pissed off Mr. K, who, you know, usually has a angel halo around his head. So, real quick,
stupid shit, and you don't have to worry about getting talked
about. Oh shit, we go hard in the paint. All right, Tiffany, what about you? You got any final thoughts? You want to tell us your favorite amendment and why?
I actually have three favorite, and for all silly reasons. I like the First Amendment, obviously, because I can say whatever I want to say. Going to other countries and traveling and realizing that everybody doesn't have that right is a very real thing, and love it, appreciate it. The Fifth Amendment, only because of Dave Chappelle. Like, who don't want to say, I plead the fifth? Like, come on. But I think my ultimate favorite would probably be the Ninth Amendment, which states that, like, even though it's not outlined in the Constitution, that there are still other rights that you are afforded in this country. So,
okay. And what about you, Rick?
I would just say the biggest thing for anybody is to always remember that the people in power now who are making the rules are not going to always be in power. So it's things that both parties have done that ended up benefiting the people that they were trying to oppress later on. Mm-hmm. So I would always say, remember, when anything is going on, regardless of political parties, you have to play by the same set of rules all the way across. Because if you're holding yourself to one standard and you're holding your opposition to another standard, then it's never going to be equal footing. And so many times, like, whether or not I agree with somebody, like, I'll go back to the Brett Kavanaugh trial. Like, I didn't agree with Brett Kavanaugh, but I couldn't say that he was inherently wrong just because somebody that was a Democrat said that he had done something without proof. Mm-hmm. It always has to be the burden of evidence as a black man. You think about all the times that black men have been accused of doing certain things. And if we say it's an injustice for everybody to believe if a white woman says that a black man did something and that's an injustice just because she's white and she said it and everybody believed it, then when it's different, we still have to kind of give them that same energy, the chance to be able to prove themselves innocent without automatically putting them on the stake. Whether you agree with their political views or not, they're still an individual. That's somebody's son, that's somebody's daughter.
All right. Okay. Well said. And Smitty, what about you?
Am I the only one that likes the 13th Amendment?
I mean, it, you know, it helped us out a little bit. I mean, you know, I can take it or leave it, actually.
Like, but the 13th, I have to agree with some of the other folks on the first, but I think the 13th and the 14th Amendment are my two favorite, because that gives everybody the same rights, right? The 14th Amendment says, you know, that all people born or naturalized in the United States have the rights under the jurisdiction. So that doesn't restrict just to white people or any of those people. So it gives everybody the same kind of rights. So I like those. The one I really am a fan of is the search and seizure one. Like the fourth. So yeah, fourth. I like that one because I don't want your ass in my house searching for shit, but I don't search warrant.
Mm-hmm.
I don't got nothing in my house, but I want your ass in there. I want you to get a search warrant. I'm going to make you work to find the shit.
That's why they're going to come find that shit with that warrant, too, just because I'm going to come knock on your door. Listen, it's behind the degrees. Don't let that shit fool you on the wall. It's behind the degrees. That's where all the illegal shit is.
It's that hard, though, to get a warrant. Yeah, so...
I mean,
though they have to get a warrant, they don't got to work hard to get it.
You on mute.
Next episode, we talking about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Please stick around, you know, and join us for the next episode.
I'm talking about the next episode of Black Vote Awareness. It's criminal justice reform.
I know. I know. That's why I was telling them to come on, stick around to go to that next episode. No.
Oh, okay.
All right. Thank you. I swear we're not this dysfunctional, y'all. I promise. So, all right. Well, thank you guys all for your comments and being on the show today. Thank you, Tiffany, Rick, Mr. K, Smitty. Thank you all for all your hard work. Please follow us at IG, Twitter, Facebook, fuck_yo_feelings. You know, hit us up. You got any comments? If you want to ask a question of us, you know, if you want to write us an email, you can do that at thepodcast.fyf@gmail.com. Send us your email. We'll read it on the show. We will entertain any questions or, you know, that you have about the show or any topic. So hit us up. Also, too, I'm going to let Mr. Rick, you know, give us, a little bit about his show. Check it out. It's a really dope show. Relationship Talks with Rick and Naaman. You know, just an awesome show. So, Rick, just give us a little bit about your show.
Well, it's just, you know, it's two black men, you know, talking about relationships and crazy stuff that happens. Like one of my favorite episodes still is the episode where I went out on like 5 dates with this girl and we had like a great day. She called me and she was singing and then like she just disappeared off the face of the earth and she just ghosted me after that. I don't know why, but it happens. But, you know, I feel like just brothers, like especially black men, because we're not always taught to talk about relationships in a healthy way. Mm-hmm. It's just like therapy for us. And we really have a good time talking to each other and talking to the community. So if you feel so inclined, you can check us out at Relationship Talks with Rick and Naaman.
And then give me your social.
On social media, I'm at Dodsism, DODDSISM.
Perfect. Thank you, sir. And then, Mr. K, what's up with Valor?
Valor Clothing Store. What is Valor? Is bravery at its finest. You can find all your clothing needs and also your PPE, I'm sorry, also. So, Valor Clothing Store.
Your OPP.
Right. Yeah, you know me.
ValorClothingStore.com and also on Instagram and Facebook.
All righty. Thank you, sir. All right. Again, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Please continue to tune in to the Black Vote Awareness episodes. Go out and check out all the other episodes, you know, on all DSPs. Thank you again. And as always, fuck your feelings. 1.